This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Rescuers still hope to find survivors in the rubble in Lower Manhattan. NPR's Melissa Block spent much of yesterday afternoon at the site where the World Trade Center collapsed.
What's left of the World Trade Center is a smoking, smoldering pile of twisted beams and girders, with small sections of the building's skin still standing, poking at crazy angles into the sky. On the rubble pile, a massive bucket brigade, hundreds of rescue workers in a human chain, passing debris bucket by bucket from the center of the heap out to the perimeter where it's being carted away. Many workers have stuck American flags into their hard hats, and there's a flag planted on top of the debris pile. It waves limply over the effort. The air smells sour. Sniffer dogs clamber over the wreckage. At one point, an excited shout comes down from the top of the rubble, a call for quiet. The brigade is silent for several minutes. Then work resumes. Lieutenant Stephen Baker is a firefighter from Ladder 56 in the Bronx.
They call for quiet when the dogs sniff and they seem to find something. They'll call for quiet. They'll also call for quiet if they think that they heard a noise from one of the victims. They'll call for quiet. Then they ask the person to tap.
But the rubble pile is agonizingly silent. Baker's face is streaked with soot and sweat. The hardest thing for him, he says,
leaving the dig. After a while, you just find out you're so exhausted, and then you realize that you gotta leave. And that's hard, because everybody wants to find the brothers, and no one wants to leave without them. So that's what we try to do.
Lieutenant Baker explains when a body is found, it's strapped to a stretcher, covered, and passed down the long line over the rubble. Some have been wrapped in flags. The bodies and body parts have been taken to a makeshift area set up across the street in a Brooks Brothers store. A sign lettered in red magic marker reads, Morgue. Captain John Sullivan is with Ladder 45 in Washington Heights. He was on the scene when the towers collapsed. The whole world turned black, he recalls. You just say a prayer.
We just want to get our guys out. You know, it's one of those things that some great firemen died in there. And the knowledgeable fire officers, tremendous men, and, you know, I really can't describe the sorrow that all of us feel.
The rescue workers are laboring in the shadow of skyscrapers immediately adjacent to the Trade Center, huge structures. It's feared some are unstable, and suddenly a siren sends everybody scurrying.
Move back, move back! Hey!
Being told to walk back from the scene. Do you know why? Enough.
Anytime you hear that whistle blast, that's an indication there may be an imminent collapse.
False alarm this time. There's a huge array of support here. Iron workers who are torching apart steel beams, doctors on hand to treat rescue workers who've become injured in their efforts, and crane operators like Todd Gleason, helping to pick up and cart away debris. There's a special irony for him in this operation.
I mean, I worked on 7 World Trade. I was one of the engineers when we built it. And now here I am taking it down. You know, it's there's no words. Putting these buildings up, and I just put that building up, and to see it collapse like that.
The dangerous heroics of the rescue and recovery workers here boggle the mind. Russ Keat drove down from Grantham, New Hampshire. He specialized in subterranean search and rescue, and he's been rappelling deep down underneath the rubble into what were once parking garages, subway stations, and he's tunneled deep into the debris itself. If there's a hole in the rubble, Keat has been in it.
I did 47 holes between noon and 7:30 last night. Got trapped 3 times in fire. The whole pile's on fire. And so as you move stuff, you let oxygen in, and I was underneath, I was in about 30, 60 feet, and the smoke starts coming into the void. I've been treated 3 times for smoke inhalation. They patch us up, send us back in.
All these efforts, yet Keat found no survivors. For blocks around, a thick layer of ash coats everything, windows, car windshields, and workers have scrawled messages in the dust. One reads, Missing, Lieutenant Tim Higgins, Squad 252. I love you, your brother. Another reads, You can destroy a building, but not our souls. Still another, You're in a better place now. And finally, this image, a mud-encrusted bronze sculpture of a seated businessman holding an attaché case. He's stuck in the middle of a rubble pile. Someone has placed a sprig of purple gladiolas in his arms, and there's a note taped on his briefcase now. It says, "In memory of those who gave their lives to try and save so many." Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.